Amen. If God is on our side, then who can be against me? Amen. That's a great word. Thank you so much, Mark, for sharing with us this morning. We appreciate your ministry. Okay. Number two, the One Another series. This morning, we are going to talk about kindness, and I really appreciate, Cynthia, your testimony and your candor about some of the feelings you had when you were on your mission trip. It's hard to smile sometimes, and it's hard to be kind. I read a quote this week about kindness. It says, kindness will influence more people than zeal, eloquence, or learning combined. That kindness will influence more people. But alas, kindness seems to be a thing of the past. Our culture is swept more into the mindset of an eye for an eye. And every day there are more examples of just how cruel people can be to one another. Our society is filled with things like road rage and revenge hit lists in schools and humiliating people on social media just for fun, just as a pastime hobby, it seems. Sometimes it makes you wonder if we can really make a difference in our society. Well, the simple answer is yes, we can. And the difference that we can make begins with being examples of simple Christian kindness. So before we begin and delve into the subject of kindness, I want to define what it means to be kind. Now, the dictionary defines kindness as the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Some synonyms for kindness are gentleness, concern, care, consideration, helpfulness, thoughtfulness, and selflessness. Now, so that we can all be on the same page in terms of our language, the definition that I'm going to use this morning, the working definition we're going to use for kindness, is to be good, useful, helpful, considerate, and gracious in all situations, regardless of circumstances. Okay, you got it? Okay, we can all get up and go now, right? No. That can be a difficult command to live out. But it is an essential one that we must learn in order to grow in Christ. So if you're a note taker today, on the back of your worship folder, you'll find an outline. And the first point that I'd like you to remember is that kindness is a command. It's a command. Christ himself commanded us to be kind. And when we show kindness, it is an acknowledgement. It is an acknowledgement of it means that we care for the feelings of other people and we feel with them. It's active. It is active. It shows caring and gets right into the situation with another person. It's an awareness. It suffers with those who are suffering. It struggles with those who are struggling, and it works with those who work. Perhaps I'm dating myself, but I'm going to read a letter from a woman named Ann Landers. Now, if you are under me in terms of age, you may remember that Ann Landers was a columnist. She was an advice columnist, and she was the twinge of Dear Abby. And for many, many years, she wrote, I think it was for the Chicago Sun-Times, and she gave advice to people, and people wrote her letters. Well, this particular letter said, Dear Ann, I'm a 46-year-old woman divorced with three grown children. And after several months of chemotherapy following a mastectomy for breast cancer, I was starting to put my life back together when the doctor called with the results of my last checkup. They had found more cancer, and I was devastated. My relatives had not been supportive. I was the first person in the family to have cancer, and they didn't know how to behave toward me. They tried to be kind, but I had a feeling that they thought that I was contagious. So they would phone to see how I was doing, but they kept their distance, and that really hurt. Last Saturday, I headed for the laundromat. You see the same people there almost every week, and we exchange greetings and small talk. So I pulled into the parking lot, and I was determined not to look depressed, but my spirits were very low. While taking my laundry out of the car, I looked up and I saw a man, one of the regulars, leaving with his bundle, and he smiled and he said, "Good morning, how are you today?" And suddenly, I totally lost control of myself and I blurted out, "This is the worst day of my life. I have more cancer." And then I began to cry. He put his arms around me and just let me sob. Then he said, "I understand. My wife has been through it too." After a few minutes, I felt better. I was embarrassed, but I stammered my thanks and proceeded on with my laundry. About 15 minutes later, he came back with his wife. Without saying a word, she walked over and hugged me. Then she said, "I've been there too. Feel free to talk to me because I know what you're going through." And I can't tell you how much this has meant to me. Here was a total stranger taking her time to give me emotional support and courage to face the future at a time when I was ready to give up. Oh, I hope God gives me a chance to do for someone else what that wonderful woman and her husband did for me. Meanwhile, Anne, please let your readers know that even though there are a lot of hard-hearted people in this world, there's some incredibly generous and loving ones too. I like that letter. There are a lot of different kinds of people in the world, aren't there? And today's passage, the Apostle Paul wrote these words in his letter to the Ephesian church. It was Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. And it said, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." You know, we see believers, and remember, Paul wrote this to believers, all around us sometimes. We can walk around with what my mother-in-law would call a moose glove face. I think I've explained that to you before. I call it face of a moose, but moose glove is just a sour disposition. We walk around sometimes angry at the world because it hasn't given us enough, or angry with our children or spouses, or even angry with God because we think he hasn't treated us fairly. Paul says that we can't live that way. It grieves the Spirit of God that lives in you when his children refuse to change their old ways of sin and put the righteous ways of their new life into play. Now let's be clear, the Bible doesn't say that you can't get angry, but it does point out how to handle our anger properly. We're instructed to deal with it immediately and in a way that builds up rather than destroys relationships. Don't let Satan give an opportunity to divide us. Are you angry with somebody right now? What could you do to resolve that difference? You know, Paul tells us the way children of God are to live, and he gives us an alternative to living with hostility and anger and unwholesome words. Do you want to know how? Instead of living in bitterness, he says to do these three things. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Did you catch that? There are three essential ingredients. Be kind, be compassionate, forgive. So let's examine that a little more closely. Be kind to one another. It is almost a lost art, as I said. So many people are rude and self-centered, and it's hard for them to worry very much about others. But listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in Titus 3:3. "At one time, we too were foolish and disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Does that sound familiar? Paul even includes himself with this. He says, we were hated and we hated one another, because that's how the world behaves. But then he goes on in verse 4 to say, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Did you hear that? It's only because the kindness and mercy of God that we are saved. If God reacted to us the way we react to each other, be kind to one another, because God has been kind to us. The second point is that we are to be compassionate to one another. Paul said, be compassionate to one another. And the word compassion simply means that your feelings become a part of my life. I begin to share and understand how you feel. I empathize with what's going on inside of you. I heard a story of a woman who was walking down the street. She saw a beggar sitting on the corner, and the man was elderly and unshaved and ragged. And as he sat there, pedestrians walked by him and really didn't give him a second look because he was dirty and he was homeless. But when she saw him, her heart was moved to compassion. It was a very cold day, and that man had on a tattered coat. It was probably more like an old suit coat than a warm winter coat, and he was wrapped up in that. And she looked down at him and said, sir, are you all right? And he looked up slowly at her, and she was a woman who was accustomed to the finer things in life, and her coat was new, and she looked like she had never missed a meal. And so he thought that she was going to make fun of him like so many others had done. So he kind of growled at her and said, leave me alone. But to his amazement, the woman continued to stand there, and she was smiling, and she said, are you hungry? And he said, no, sarcastically, I've just came from dining with the president. Now go away. And the woman smiled even broader, and suddenly the man felt a gentle hand under his arm, and he said, what are you doing, lady? I said, leave me alone. Just at that moment, a police officer came up and said, is there a problem, ma'am? And she said, no, officer, I'm just trying to get this man up to his feet. Will you help me, please? And the officer scratched his head and said, well, that's old Jack, and he's been a fixture around here for a couple of years. What do you want with him? And she said, you see that cafeteria over there? I'm going to help him up, and I'm going to get him something to eat so he can get out of the cold for a while. And the homeless man said, are you crazy, lady? I don't want to go in there. But then he felt another set of strong hands lifting him up, and he said, let me go, officer, I didn't do anything. And the officer said, this is a good deal for you, Jack, don't blow it. So they walked over to the cafeteria and sat him down to a remote corner table, and then the manager comes in and stood by this table and said, officer, what's going on here? What's all this? Is this man in trouble? And the police officer said, no, this lady just brought this man in here to be fed. And the manager replied, as you can probably imagine, not in here. Having a person like that is bad for business. And old Jack smiled his toothless grin, and he said, see, lady, I told you. Now, if you'd let me go, I didn't want to come in here in the first place. But the lady turned and smiled at him and said, sir, are you familiar with Edie and Associates, the banking firm down the street? And he said, of course I am. They hold their weekly meeting here in one of my banquet rooms. What business is that of yours? And she said, well, I am Penelope Eddy, president and CEO of that company. And he said, oh, how may I serve you this afternoon? And he quickly scampered off to get some coffee for his guests. Then Penelope sat down and she looked at the older gentleman and she said softly, Jack, do you remember me? And the old man searched her face, and with his old roomy eyes, he said, you know, I think so. You do look kind of familiar. And she said, yeah, perhaps I'm a little older, and maybe I've even filled out a little more over the years from my younger days, but when you worked here, I came through that very door cold and hungry. I was just out of college, and I'd come to the city looking for a job, but I couldn't find anything. Finally, I was down to my last few cents, and I had been kicked out of my apartment, and I'd walked the streets for days. It was February, I was cold and nearly starving, and I saw this place. And I walked in the off chance that I could get something to eat. And then Jack lit up with a smile, and he said, "Now I remember. I was standing behind the counter serving, and you came up and you asked me if you could work for something to eat. And I said that it was against company policy." And Penelope said, "I know." "Then you made me the biggest roast beef sandwich I had ever seen and gave me a cup of coffee and told me to go over to the corner table and enjoy it. I was afraid you were going to get in trouble," she said. "And then when I looked over, I saw you put the price of my food in the cash register, and I knew that everything was going to be all right." Old Jack said, "So you started your own business?" And Penelope said, "You know, I got a job that very afternoon, and I worked my way up, and eventually I started my own business. With the help of God, it prospered." Then she opened up her purse and pulled out a business card, and she said, "You know, when you finish eating, I want you to pay a visit to Mr. Lyons. He will find something for you to do around the office. I think he might even find some funds to give you, a little advance, so that you can buy some clothes and get a place to live till you're on your feet. And if you ever need anything, my door will always be open to you." And there were tears in the old man's eyes. And he said, "How can I ever thank you?" And she said, "Don't thank me. To God goes the glory. Thank Jesus, because he led me to you." You know, just like that story I just told you, there are a lot of stories like that in the Bible about kindness and compassion. But kindness is not just extended to the people that we know and like. Kindness is supposed to be extended to everyone. The Bible says that we're to show kindness to strangers. Be kind and compassionate to one another. And remember, it is Jesus Christ who said, "Whatever you did for these, you did for me." You know, and that's where it starts. In a family torn by dissension and argument, be kind and compassionate with one another. In a business where the general rule seems to be dog eat dog, be kind and compassionate. In a community and nation that's lost and hurting, be kind and compassionate. In a world that's torn asunder by deep and long-standing hatreds that never seem to be assuaged, be kind and compassionate to one another. In our hearts, we long for peace, real peace, lasting peace. But I'm convinced there'll be no such peace until the Prince of Peace is lifted and recognized and not ignored. Well, the last point is to forgive each other. Listen again to the Apostle Paul. He said, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you." The third item in Paul's message is to forgive each other. And I believe he had a reason for putting that last. I think it's because we really can't forgive someone until we learn first how to be kind and compassionate. Remember the biblical story of the 11th son born to Jacob? His name was Joseph. God revealed his plan for the life of Joseph when he was still a young boy, and Joseph really couldn't handle it. In fact, he had a big fancy coat that he walked around. "My daddy gave me this coat, and I'm going to be in charge, and you're going to bow down to me." And, you know, that probably wasn't the best way to handle that blessing. But, you know, sometimes when we're young, we have to learn humility, and we have to learn how to properly handle the things of God. Sometimes you don't go around excitedly talking about what God is going to do for you. Sometimes you just have to let God speak. But in his young and brash self, he went and told all of this to his brothers, and his brothers became jealous and eventually sold him into slavery. And he ended up telling his father, their father, that his favorite son had been killed by a wild animal. Joseph was bought by a man who eventually recognized Joseph's honesty, and the man gave Joseph great freedom, even though he was a slave. Eventually, Joseph was wrongly accused of a crime and ended up in prison. And Joseph's integrity won him favor with the jailkeepers, and he was able to become guard over other prisoners. Through time, God elevated Joseph to great power within the kingdom. Now, his brothers thought he was dead. They did not suspect that the man that they stood before was their brother Joseph. And when Joseph revealed himself, they were shocked to find out that he was still alive. They even feared for their lives. And they thought that after all these years, Joseph would finally seek retribution for what they had done to him. But after the family was reunited, they lived together in Egypt. And when their father passed away, the brothers began to fear again, even more now, so that daddy was dead, because see, they thought that maybe Joseph was just being kind while daddy was still living, but now that daddy's gone, Joseph is finally going to get us back. And you know, Joseph was heartbroken when he found out that they still did not trust him and they feared him. And this amazing story of forgiveness cultivates with these words from Joseph to his brothers. He said, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly with them. Paul said, "Be compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now you forgive one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you." I wonder if we could behave like that today. I wonder this morning if you need the kindness of God, if you need to feel his tender touch. He understands you. He knows what you think. He knows your worries, your concerns, your disappointments, your joys. He's anxious to forgive you and forget your sins. And he's waiting with open arms to see what you're going to do with his love. Please pray with me. Father God, thank you for this reminder about kindness. It's a difficult one for us to master. We live in a very harried and rushed society. Sometimes we let the things and the cares of this world and our agendas and the things that we have to do get in the way of basic decency at times. Father, examine our hearts and show us any ways in us that need to be cleaned and forgiven. And we thank you, Father, that you say that you will forgive us. That's your promise if we come to you and ask. And then our sins will be as far as the east is from the west. So thank you for that, Father. Give us opportunities this week to show your love and kindness to others. May the words of the scriptures prick us this week if we feel ourselves getting a little anxious or a little impatient. And we will remember to give you the honor and the glory and the praise. And we say this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.